Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. The woman who built the Trump Tower, picked by Donald Trump to be the first female to lead the building of a New York City skyscraper. The real first apprentice. What's Donald Trump like to work for inside the Trump Organization? Encountering sexual harassment in the construction business, all that and more tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Barbara Ress worked directly for the now President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, as Executive Vice President for Construction and Development in the Trump Organization. She, in essence, was the original apprentice, having been tapped by Donald Trump and then-wife Ivana to oversee the construction of the iconic Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in the city. She's an engineer, an attorney, an author, as well as an expert on sexual harassment. And her book is The Woman Who Built the Trump Tower All Alone on the 68th Floor, How One Woman Changed the Face of Construction. She's a trailblazer. She's a STEM star, math and engineering, before women were, and she's one of the few that reported directly to Trump. Welcome, Donald. Welcome, Barbara. Good to talk to you.
Very good to talk to you.
All right, before we start, I want to read the Donald on Barbara. The person I hired to be my personal representative overseeing the construction, Barbara Ress, was the first woman ever put in charge of a skyscraper in New York. She was 33 at the time. I'd watched her in construction meetings, and what I liked was that she took no guff from anybody. She was half the size of most of these bruising guys. She wasn't afraid to tell them off when she had to, and she knew how to get things done. That's like the ultimate compliment from Trump. Tell us the story, how you were discovered, Barbara.
I was working for a general contractor. I had been an assistant project manager and then a mechanical superintendent and then a superintendent building the ballrooms and the meeting rooms and the kitchens at the Grand Hyatt. Trump was a partner with the Hyatt, and he was the developer. He was in charge of, you know, the development, the construction, all of that. You know, we ran across each other over the two-year period. As time went on, we got a little bit to know each other a little bit more and more. And I used to go to the job meetings, which was a little unusual for a person in my position. But because I was so enthusiastic and worked so hard, my bosses brought me to the meetings. They thought I had something to add. And Trump used to watch me, and he used to watch me in the field. And he, what he said was true. I didn't take guff. I took a lot of harassment. But, I mean, you know, I did stand up for myself, especially to the architects and engineers at the meetings, you know, when they would try to blame my company or the subcontractors for something they did. Anyway, he liked me, and he asked me to work for him, and I did. Simple as that. Ivana liked me, too. I think Ivana was influential in my hiring.
Okay, so tell us, what's it like to work for Trump?
You know, I worked for him many times. I worked for him when I worked for the contractor on the Hyatt, and it was different from when I worked for him on Trump Tower, which was different from when I left and came back to be his executive in charge of development from 87 to 91. And then it was different when I remained as a consultant on a project he was doing in California. So let me tell you about the beginning. I mean, you know, when I first encountered him, he was very brash. He had a false self-confidence. He thought he knew everything. He really didn't know anything. And he made some directives and mistakes on the Hyatt that were really ridiculous. On the other hand, he did have, like I said, this confidence. He had an aura about him. He was attractive. His wife was attractive. They were a beautiful couple. And, you know, you could see that it was the beginning of something. You could tell that this was going to be a power couple, and this was going to be a star on the horizon. When he asked me to work for him at Trump Tower, I was a little concerned because, to be honest with you, he didn't treat the people that worked for him on the Hyatt very nicely. He was mean. He would criticize them in front of others and, you know, sort of humiliate them. I didn't want that. But I had the wherewithal to gain his respect enough that he wouldn't do something like that. And I took a chance in working for him, but it was just such, the way he described the project to me was so incredible. And of course he was right in every way, that I just wanted to do it. And I thought, you know, I'll make the best of this. I will rise to the occasion. So working for him on Trump Tower, we were very close. I saw him every single day, a couple of times a day. He didn't have bodyguards at the time. He had a driver. And when we went to meetings that were a few blocks away, we walked together and we talked. I was in his office a lot. We talked in his office. He was hard on me, no question about it. He's hard on everybody, extremely demanding, demanding of things that are not possible, demanding the impossible. Coming up with ideas and asking me or the others to execute them when he knew that they couldn't be executed, you know, that kind of thing. And then being able to say, well, you didn't do this, when he knew damn well that you couldn't have done it. But on the other hand, he was nice to me, and, you know, he was very, very quick to give praise when he was among others. And, you know, in retrospect, I realized that part of that, a good part of that, was the fact that he liked to say that he surrounded him with the best, and he was a megalomaniac. Everything was the best of the worst. So if you were in his good graces, you were the best. So it was nice to be recognized. And, you know, when we had the topping out party at Trump Tower, he recognized me and brought me up on the stage. And it was kind of a good relationship. You know, again, in retrospect, I realized that he sort of took advantage of me. Because I was a woman, I worked harder than anyone else would. I worked probably cheaper. But I would say, all in all, when I left in 1984, I guess it was, we were in very good terms. He gave me a wonderful leaving party and a beautiful present, and it was great.
Okay, so let's, and we have to give him credit for putting a woman in that job ahead of anybody else. Now we talk, people saying he's, you know, about his mental fitness. Is he crazy? Short attention span, repeats himself, impulsive. You don't think he's crazy, though, right?
No, absolutely not. He acts pretty much the same as he did when I knew him. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, you don't know him. You worked for him 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I say, yeah, absolutely. I don't know what he's like now, but I do see him on television. I can tell you what I see on television is exactly what he was like when I worked for him. And he was mercurial. He would go from one thing to another, change his position on something in a snap. I mean, you know, he knew which way the wind was blowing, and that's... And that's how he reacted, you know, repeating himself. Yeah, he repeated himself.
He was never qualified for the job. People should have known that. Trump's not a great developer, not a great businessman, not anything like a genius. That's you speaking. First off, on the smart, is he smart? People say last week they were saying he doesn't even read. Is that can't be true, can it?
I do believe that's true. I don't think that, I mean, you know, he'll scan, but I don't think that he gets into the depth of, you know, really reading reports and things like that. No, he doesn't do that. Is he smart? Yeah, he's smart. You know, a lot of people are smart. He's not a genius.
No.
But he's a quick study, and when he concentrates, which is extremely rare, he gets it. So he's definitely a smart person, smarter than average, way smarter than average even.
Now, you said that he did change over time as his ego grew, right?
Yes.
And not for the good.
Well, no. I mean, it never is for the good when you're talking about ego. He had built Trump, well, he built the Hyatt, and then, you know, he started with Trump Tower. And when he was with Trump Tower, he did his own PR and stuff like that. It was amazing. And he was an amazing salesman. By the time we finished Trump Tower, he was sort of like on the map. And then I left, like I said, for 3 years or 2 years, and I came back, and he was now, his casinos were done, he was famous, he was being written up in papers and magazines, and he was full of himself. He hired several bodyguards. He never went anywhere without a bodyguard. One thing I left out was in the going from the Hyatt to Trump Tower, Donald, one thing he learned was to listen to people that know what the hell they're talking about. And after that, when I started getting into the role of executive vice president in charge of development, I began to see him hiring people that would just go along with what he said. He stopped really listening to his advisors. It was over a period of time, but it still, you know, was clearly that he was beginning to think he knew better than everyone else. And that's certainly consistent with what he does now.
Are you surprised by the chaos and dysfunction of the White House?
No, absolutely not. It was sort of that way, which, by the way, I got to admit, I sort of liked. I mean, you know, we didn't have, wasn't like working in corporate. It was very, you know, I personally had a tremendous amount of responsibility and freedom and access. Initially, 100% access. Later on, it got a little bit different. But when they say that Kelly stopped people from going into his office, I laughed at that because it made perfect sense. He would, you know, this is so funny, he would talk to the clerks and the secretaries, and he would even ask them what they thought of their bosses. I mean, he had that. It was, and he liked to stir up rivalries. He really liked that. He enjoyed watching people go after each other and see who won.
And we're going to get a little more on that, and then we're going to go into the construction part coming right up.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy. pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with former EVP, Executive Vice President of the Trump Organization, and the first female to build a skyscraper, perhaps in the world, but certainly in New York. That's Barbara Ress. I wanted to finish a little bit more about his style and everything. He has a real problem with trust, and which you said sometimes has led him to put incompetent people in jobs, or Jared and Ivanka, because he trusts them. I'm asking, where do you think that's from? And also, why is a guy who's been so successful and became president out of nowhere appear to be so insecure? I mean, secure people don't have to tell people every day how smart they are.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing, but I do find with some really very smart people, very accomplished people, that sometimes they are insecure. It's sort of like a dialectic that works between, you know, accomplishment and fear of failure. But certainly he's... he always was like that. You know, you needed to make him feel good about himself, you know, and it was a way to get things out of him. Like if you wanted to do something that you thought he might object to, you know, you would go in there and say, you know, Donald, this was this is great thing, and, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, he would sort of come along your way. Certainly if he told you to do something that you didn't agree with and you knew it was wrong, the real way and the only way to get him to let you do what you wanted was, well, there were two ways. One, just ignore him, which I did on occasion. And the other was to try to get him to think that your idea was his idea and that it was an absolutely great one.
He kind of lives in his own world, right, like the biggest inaugural crowd ever. And he, does he believe his own deceptions? And he appears to be a pathological liar. Is that unfair?
Yeah, I'm not a psychologist, so I you know, I see him lying more now than I did when I worked for him. But I remember a woman who was the commissioner of city planning quoted him as she wouldn't believe him if his tongue was notarized.
Yeah.
And in fact, he did stretch the truth a lot and sometimes outright lie. Pathological, the biggest crowd. I think that he must have known that that wasn't true, but I don't think he cared. I think that he thinks that if he says something enough times...
people believe it.
That it will be true, yeah. And the people that want... he knows the people that want to believe in him, which is probably a third of the electorate opposed to it, will believe anything he says.
Yes, exactly. That's what it seems like to me. Now, let me ask you this, because you have some insight in this. What is the impact of his father on Trump?
Yeah, I sort of caught up with him when Fred was waning as the moon. He was on his way out, and he got involved in Trump Tower, and he was extremely difficult. I hated him, to be honest with you. He was in the way. He gave me a hard time. He was very unfair and short-tempered and whatever. Knowing what he was like with Donald, I have to imagine that he was the same way. And, you know, Donald's the middle child. There was an older brother, and the older brother died, I think, of alcoholism or something like that. He just couldn't cut it with Fred. And that was, you know, sort of like the rumor that Fred sort of, like, did him in. So Donald came along, and Donald was the number two. And I think that Fred probably was pretty tough on Donald. I don't know personally how Donald felt about his father, except the way he talked about him to me, which was very respectful. But others tell me that knew better that he really idolized his father, which I find kind of amazing.
And he seemed, from your book, he seemed a little bit unfair to you. I mean, he wanted you paid. He didn't want you paid whatever you were being paid at the time.
Oh, Fred?
Yeah.
Oh, he was horrified that Donald put a woman in charge of construction. He hated it. And Donald was paying me a certain salary, which was more than anyone in Brooklyn where Fred worked was getting paid. So what he had to do was he had to reduce my salary and the paycheck to a certain amount of money and then just give me expenses for the rest of it so that Fred wouldn't go crazy. And, you know, getting back to Fred and Donald and their relationship, by that time, Donald knew that he was in charge, and everybody else knew it, too. I mean, you know, when you were around Donald and Fred, you knew that Donald was just putting up with Fred. So I went to Donald, and because Fred really gave me a hard time, and I said to him, you know, your father's driving me crazy, and he just said to me, you know, sort of, I'm paraphrasing, he said, suck it up, baby.
Yeah.
And I did.
Okay, tell us what it was like building the Trump Tower. And first of all, it's not even 68 stories, really, right?
No, no, it's 58 stories.
58, but okay. Of course, he's been claiming 68, but tell us what it was.
No, then if you get in the elevator and you press the button, you're going to go to 68. That's what it says. but what he did was he added 10 floors, six on the lower level and then three in the middle, and then, you know, the next one was the 10th. And his justification for that, if he needs a justification, is that the first floors, the five floors, are like double height because
right.
they're retail floors. So that was his justification.
Now, let me ask you this. In you talk in your book about how you believe that, you know, subcontractors should be paid, and you ran the thing very straight. Now, as you know, during the campaign, there was just a ton of stuff. He doesn't pay his subs. He doesn't do this. He cheats people out of this. You didn't see that in the Trump Tower?
I saw a little bit of it. He tried not to pay subcontractors, but I fought with him on that, and I always won. Everybody got paid. But having said that, let me just couch it a little bit so the people understand this is a dance.
Yeah.
And the subcontractors, the contractors, and the owners all know how to dance the dance. And subcontractors come in with a change order, say, and they'll ask you for twice what it's worth. They'll ask for 100 when it's worth 50. And in time, you'll negotiate it, and if you fail, like I was, you'll end up giving them 60, which is 10 more than what they were entitled to. So if he didn't pay his contractors all that they asked, it would be fine. But I understand that he didn't pay them much of what they asked or anything of what they asked, and that was wrong. That did not happen on Trump Tower. And, you know, the one thing about Trump is that he loved to sue people because he knew that he could tie them up in court forever. He never had arbitration clauses in his contract. It was always, you know, the court of the local jurisdiction. And people would succumb. He would get them down on their knees. He'd give them 20% out of 100%. But that was not on my job. There were no lawsuits. There was one lawsuit on my job. He sued the architect, which was really a shame. But No lawsuits with the contractors. Everybody got paid. Everybody was basically happy. A lot of them worked for him again.
You should have stuck with him. tell us this. Tell us some of the celebrities you dealt with. Your favorite, you said, was Nixon. These are folks looking to get into the tower.
Nixon actually was there with Patricia. He was bringing. He brought her to look at an apartment. But you know, he had Secret Service with him, which was cool. And Donald, usually, if there was somebody really big, would at least take him around the first time. And Donald never came into the building without me. As soon as he was going to bring someone around or anything like that, he would call me and I would be there with him. So we went around looking at apartments. But the building was under construction at the time. So the elevator lobbies on each floor, each apartment floor, were unfinished. They were recessed to accept a setting bed and a marble floor, which means that the concrete was 2 inches or so below the sill of the elevator. Well, this happened 3 times in a row. Every time Nixon got onto the elevator, he tripped over that sill. So the 4th time, as we were getting on, or the 3rd time, he takes me by the arm and he says, be careful. I just thought that was the funniest thing.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We'll have more from Trump's first female construction leader next.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders
leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
And the book is The Woman Who Built the Trump Tower All Alone on the 68th Floor, How One Woman Changed the Face of Construction. And that's Barbara Ress. We're back with her. And let's do one more on the Trump Tower celebrities. Johnny Carson, you weren't as high on.
Yeah, Carson was stuffy and, you know, snobby and stuff like that. Hmm. And he had a very expensive raincoat with him when he was checking out his apartment before it was ready for him to occupy. And he apparently lost it. So he accused us of stealing his coat. And it turned out that he left it in a taxi or something like that. But it was ugly. I mean, it was, you know, your people are, you know, untrustworthy, blah, blah, blah. Hmm. And Trump in his book said that he fired someone over it. He did not. No one got fired over that.
What's the Trump apartment like?
Well, you know, there's two versions of it. There's the first one that I did, which was done by a man named Angelo Donghia, who is now deceased, who was a very famous designer. And he was kind of a less is more kind of guy. So it wasn't, it had a lot of glass and a lot of bronze and a lot of marble, but it wasn't, you know, all that ostentatious.
And now it's all gold inlay, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't know. You don't have to go far to see a picture of him and Melania sitting in the living room there with all the cherubs and all this stuff. It's way, way over the top, in my opinion.
Where is now? His apartment is on what floor, and where's the office?
His apartment is on 66, 67, and 68. The office is on 26. You can't go from the office to the apartment building.
No,
the apartment building is completely separate. So you have to walk out the front door and walk around to the entrance on 56th Street. However, there's a fire command station room that has all the fire panels and stuff like that, and that has a door into the atrium and a door into the lobby of the apartment building. So he just used to go through there, and I did too. I mean, you know, not supposed to, but so that you didn't have to go outside.
How did he and Ivana work? And she actually ran the at least one of the casinos and then the plaza, right?
She ran the, she was the head of or the president of the Castle Casino.
Uh-huh.
And then he brought her back to New York when he bought the plaza, and he installed her as the president of the plaza.
And they work well together? Was she competent?
She's very bright. And she tried hard. She worked hard. And she had competencies but not experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there were certain things that she really didn't know how to do but, you know, did and had fairly good people working for her. So things didn't become a terrible mess. At the plaza, one of the things she was really involved in and in charge of was the design of the renovation of what we did. And she and Donald didn't always agree on what was to be done. The funny thing was that I worked for Donald. I was his executive vice president, except I was in charge of construction of the plaza, and she was president of the plaza. So it was like being pulled in two different directions all the time. Over time, they started to fight. And, you know, there was deterioration of marriage. Everyone knows about that, all the Maples thing. at a point in time, he became very angry about the Plaza, and he took it out on me, and he took it out on Ivana.
He moved her to the Plaza because of Marla Maples, right? He wanted her in the Atlantic City, is that?
You know, that's the rumor. I don't know if it's true or not. I think that there's an element of trust that is incorporated in Donald's decision to put a family member in charge of something important, and you can see that he's done that. He did it with Robert, his brother.
Yeah.
He did it with Ivana. He's doing it with Ivanka and Jared, and he does it with his sons.
Tell us an example of how he does just gut hiring. This guy he hired at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he he came to me one day or called me up, and he said, I met this guy, or he called me over to his office, and he gave me a call, and he said, I met this guy at the Open, and I want you to call him. I want you to put him in charge of security. I'm saying to myself, what the hell? I mean, you know, first of all, we didn't really have security. The building was under construction. But he apparently this young man who was out of college but didn't have a job was working part-time or temporary basis at the Open as a security guard. And Donald witnessed him stopping a melee between some young minority kids and some people that apparently they had taken their seats, and I guess the people were late and they showed up in their seats and there was, you know, a little altercation kind of thing. This guy, Donald said, grabbed the two kids by their collars and just let them out of there, and that really impressed Donald, and so he got the young man's information.
And now he's got, what's his job now?
He's COO or CEO.
COO of Trump Organization.
You know, I always liked the guy, and I hired him. He worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
I put him on the contractor's payroll because we didn't want to have too many people on our payroll because even though he wasn't involved in the job, Fred still knew what was going on. And, you know, he evolved. He became Donald's number one bodyguard. He put him in charge of security, and he hired some good people, ex-cops and things like that. And he just kept moving up in stature. But the thing about Matt Calamari is his name. He said to Wayne Barrett years ago when he wrote the book about Trump that he would do anything for Donald. And I absolutely believe that. I saw him do things that were kind of, you know, questionable back when, you know, he was working for Donald directly after I finished Trump Tower. And Donald values loyalty tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he truly believes Matt will be loyal to him to the end. So that's, you know, I think why he kept getting promotions.
Let me ask you, because you were on the Trump Tower building. They destroyed that Bonwit Teller building, and he destroyed a frieze or something on the front of the building, right, that was supposedly historic. What about that?
Yeah, you know, I came in and that was all done. It had been done.
Okay.
So I got to hear Donald's version first, and I didn't hear the other versions until way after, even recently, that, you know, people were saying how they talked to him and tried to work with him to get him to save these freezes. You know, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, they weren't really something that needed to be saved. There's old buildings in New York with elements on all of them. It wasn't a landmark building. There was no law requiring him to save it. It would have cost him a lot of money to try to save it, and maybe even skills that his workers didn't have. According to him, he tried to work with the people. He offered them the freezes. Nobody wanted to come up with money or any kind of cooperation, and he just removed them. Now, you know, the tabloids, or the papers, mm-hmm. say that he, you know, sort of came in the night and destroyed them when no one was looking. It's probably a combination of the two. But from my point of view, he bought a building. He owned the building. There was no conditions on it. It wasn't landmarked. It was his absolute right to do whatever he wanted with that building, and he did it. So that's where I come down on that.
All right. Now, your toughness manifests itself in many ways. You would even you took out a mob guy, right, or you didn't know he was when you went to meet with him?
Well, we had this woman who was buying apartments in Trump Tower, and she was affiliated with the head of the Teamsters in New York. So he would sort of, like, come in and get involved on her behalf just to make sure everything was, you know, fine. And I met with him a couple of times, and, you know, we talked about, actually I asked him about some union stuff, and it was interesting how he reacted to it. But I didn't really have anything to do with him in terms of, you know, the running of things or mafia or anything like that. But we did have a problem with the woman that was his friend, and I put friends in quote marks.
Yeah.
And because of that, Donald and she were arguing about the cost of change orders or something like that. He decided, he got involved, and he decided that he was going to hurt us somehow. But we didn't have, we were basically finished with construction. We didn't have concrete trucks, which is their big thing. So he stopped the concrete on some of the contractors of the project, and he did do that. And the contractor came to Donald begging him, you got to resolve this. This is, you know, you can't do this to us, that kind of thing. And we temporarily resolved it. I understand that after several years, she and Donald were in court. I think she left the building in disgrace, so to speak. I don't know that she held on to her apartments or not.
But you're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, 350 stations around the country on the Business Talk Radio Network. Go to biztalkradio.com. Find the station nearest you. Listen over the internet or access our podcast. In our final segment, we'll talk about encountering sexual harassment in the business.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. Call now, 800-303-3398.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon & Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
It's our final segment with Barbara Russ, sexual harassment in a male tough guy industry. Some of the stuff you describe with these construction guys is pretty brutal. How did you deal with it, and how has it affected you to this day?
You know, that's a really good question. How I dealt with it is something that I keep asking myself. And the answer to me is that I put my head down, and I just kept moving forward. And I wasn't, I was aware of it, but I didn't let it interfere with my ability to do the job. But as far as how it affected me, it was terrible. It damaged me. And I'm the first one to admit it in my book, All Alone on the 68th Floor. I talk about not having children. And it's, that is more, not so much the sexual harassment as the industry itself not accepting women. And my feeling that in order for me to do the job, I had to make that sacrifice. And it was really, really unfair that, you know, they would see me as a baby factory and nothing else. But as far as getting back to the men, on the Hyatt, it was awful. I was the only woman, clearly the only woman. There were two women that worked as secretaries in the building. But in the field, it was just me. And some guys were nice, some guys were, you know, not nice, and some guys sort of looked the other way. But basically, I was tortured. And, you know, the one thing, I never complained because, for one thing, there was no such thing as a hostile environment back then. Mm-hmm. They could do whatever they wanted. I mean, the walls, the gang boxes, everything was festooned with naked pictures. You couldn't walk 2 feet without seeing naked pictures. And that in itself was hard on me because, you know, people would refer to the women in the pictures and refer to me, and that was not good. It was not easy for me. But there was this one plumber who just wouldn't leave me alone. He was a sub-foreman, and he was, you know, he knew I was married. He kept asking me out, and he kept making passes at me and talking about my attributes and stuff like that, and it was getting under my skin. So I finally decided, and it wasn't easy for me to do, to tell the boss about it. And my boss, the immediate boss, was this Irish Catholic who, while he didn't really think that I should be there, he was protective of me, and he was very upset by this, and he brought in the big boss, and the boss, big boss brought in his boss. And they went to the plumbing contractor, and they talked to him about it, and this is what they decided. They decided this sub-foreman, it wasn't even a foreman, it was a sub-foreman, was too important to remove from the job. So he stayed there, and he left me alone. I got not even an apology. I just got left alone.
Amazing. And in those days, you see, you kind of blamed yourself for harassment.
Of course you do. All victims of this kind of thing blame themselves. And it's coming out with this Me Too movement now, and people seeing how women internalize this. I was harassed from the time I worked in an office, an electrical contractor, and I started to believe the things they said. This one man used to say that I didn't want to be a woman and I wasn't a real woman and stuff like that, and that got to me. And I started feeling that way. When you talk about blaming yourself for harassment, like on the job, every day I looked at what I'm wearing. What am I wearing? Am I encouraging this? How am I speaking? Does my speech lead people to think that they can say things to me? And you internalize it and you blame yourself.
And you're involved now in the whole movement?
Well, I am and I'm not. I mean, I try to write about it a little bit, but, you know, I'm not a recognized expert, although I consider myself quite an expert on this. So I'm trying to do some writing about it, and I'm certainly involved to the extent that everyone else is involved in discussions. And
how did you have, I don't know if it was your parents or whatever, but the courage, you were one of the first math, science, engineering women in all the schools you were in, and then a course in construction. Where did you get the sort of the guts to be different like that?
You know, my mother always encouraged me. She didn't go to high school, and she felt terrible about that, and her brothers did. And she always said, you know, I could have been great. And my sister tried to go to engineering school. She went at night, and it was very difficult. But she did go, and she encouraged me. But mostly, I entered school as a computer science major, which had I stayed with, I would have been a multimillionaire now. And I switched over to engineering because I met a lot of people that encouraged me to take the engineering. They said it was very difficult, which was a challenge, and that I would like it. It was all math, and I was good in math, you know. So I basically sort of fell into it. And I took electrical because by the time I decided to be an engineer, I didn't have time to take the prerequisites for civil engineering. So I became an electrical engineer.
And we'll say as we finish up on this that women still have under 10% probably of the lead positions in construction jobs. In STEM jobs, they only earn about 86% of men, so there's still not equity. But what I would like to finish up on is tell us your thoughts on how do you think the Trump presidency is going to go?
You know, I've been saying since he won, once I came out of my shock, that he quit. Because it's not a job for him. He doesn't like it. He has said that. It requires him to be responsible to other people, although he has managed to change that element of it. He's not accountable in any way. But nevertheless, it's too much work for him. It's too much demanding schedule. He can't just do what he wants, although he mostly does what he wants. He has to do certain things that he's used to being completely in charge without any, you know, anyone challenging him or anything like that. I think he may end up quitting.
Wow.
Because I think that this this investigation may end up turning things up on him. And even if it doesn't, it's not going to be a successful presidency. And I think that he would rather, instead of being a failure, he would rather quit and blame the Congress and the people of the United States for not letting him do all the great things that he could do.
So you think that, because he's going to have to find the justification, right? So it'll be just that Washington, you know, wouldn't, the swamp took him over? Or?
Yeah, basically. That, I mean, you know, this is just surmise on my part.
Right.
It's certainly possible that he could do that, that he could say that Washington wouldn't work with him and blame the Congress, blame the Republicans. I mean, he's done that a number of times already. He's blaming Schumer for shutting down the government. I mean, so it's not unusual for him to blame other people. As a matter of fact, he always has blamed other people when things went wrong.
He's in the wrong job.
Well, yeah.
It seems like he needs a lot of love to it. In that business, you're not going to get a universal feeling of love. Thanks to Barbara Respin, a very quick hour. She's really an inspiration to women and anybody that wants to be strong in business. Her book is The Woman Who Built the Trump Tower, All Alone on the 68th Floor, How One Woman Changed the Face of Construction. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Get our podcast at biztalkradio.com. And on YouTube, we have our commercial-free version, Park City Productions. You can search there, or Biz Talk with Jim Campbell. Our next show, we've got famed historian Robert Dalek. He's written an epic on FDR. Thanks to Barbara Rest. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.